Hey everyone, welcome to 10 Movies, the podcast where we dig into the work of one actor through 10 of their films. I'm Hemal Javeri, and with me as always is co-host Brian Minter.
Hello and welcome. I'm impressed with how well you did that intro. You definitely did not do it two or three times and mess it up, that's for sure.
Let me just say that eighth time's the charm.
Well, we took a couple weeks off from podcasting for various reasons.
So we did. We took a break because of COVID-related reasons and then Thanksgiving-related reasons, but we are back with fresh podcasting content today. Today we're going to talk about Jennifer Lopez in the film Parker.
Can I tell you that I sandbagged you a little bit on this one? I'm going to part the curtain here for our listening audience. We had agreed to watch the movie Hustlers.
Yes.
And I forgot. And I was like, we're going to watch something with a short name. Oh, Parker. And so I watched Parker. And then you're like, BT Dubs, I'm setting out to watch Hustlers, as we agreed to do. I was like, oh, right, shoot, I watched the wrong movie. So I watched Hustlers, which was our last episode, and I enjoyed it. But I had already watched Parker, and I didn't want to have watched it for no reason. So last episode, when you're like, hey, what are we watching next? I'm like, oh my God, Parker, we totally both agreed to it. Thus locking in the choice, because I didn't want to have watched it for no reason.
I'm going to lay the entirety of this film at your feet, because you didn't really read the instructions very carefully in terms of what we're doing.
Well, I didn't make the movie Parker. I just watched it.
We're talking about the 2013 little-known action/thriller/ heist film called Parker, starring Jason Statham and Jennifer Lopez.
It sounds like perhaps you did not fully enjoy the experience of watching Parker.
You know, we'll come to that. We'll come to whether or not I liked Parker. But as we usually do with this podcast, we talk about the plot.
Yes, the plot of Parker. Also, it's been like 4 weeks since I watched it, so I would also benefit from a refresher.
So generally, it's up to me to talk about the plot of films, and then Brian will interrupt as he sees fit.
I will wait patiently until you're done.
I don't know if I can summarize the plot of Parker because it's a little convoluted. It is Jason Statham as a outlaw. He's kind of a thief.
Yeah, he's a bank robber, con man kind of guy.
Yeah, I think he's just a thief because he doesn't rob banks specifically. He just like takes shit from people. He steals cars. He steals money. He steals jewels.
Yeah, I feel like this kind of character is very common in this kind of movie, but probably is not a real kind of guy at all.
No, I don't think so. But anyway, the plot revolves around Jason Statham, who plays the titular Parker, who is a thief, and he is basically running from one scam to another. And this is like a revenge film wrapped up in a heist film. Parker has been wronged by a group of thieves that he worked with, and they basically leave him on the side of the road for dead.
Oh, yeah, they cut him out of the deal, and then they beat him, and they think they killed him.
Yes.
Yeah, they did him wrong. I remember now.
And so then he is coming back to kind of avenge the fact that they cut him out of the last score and that they left him for dead. So he's got this like personal grudge against them. So there's this long, convoluted plot where they end up going from...
They're doing a jewel heist in Miami, right?
Well, the thieves that kind of cut him out are doing a big jewel heist in Miami. The movie starts in like Alabama or something. And so he like travels to Miami where he hooks up with a real estate agent played by Jennifer Lopez. And they work together kind of to foil this, not to foil it, but to steal from the thieves, like to steal from the stealers, basically.
Yeah, but as a way of exacting revenge. Like,
yes.
He wants the money would be nice, or the jewels, or whatever it is. But really, he wants to get them because they got him.
Yeah, I did a terrible job of explaining this plot. And that's only because the plot is incredibly thin. And there's like an entire... This movie is about 2 hours long. And there's 90 minutes of this film that absolutely just do not need to happen.
So you really enjoyed Parker, I can tell. You're going to probably watch it again.
It's not that I enjoyed it or didn't like it. It's that I thought that there could have been there's a much better movie in here. And I think we hit on a thing that has been bothering me throughout this entire Jennifer Lopez season, which is that she never really has great co-stars. Like, it's very hard to get a man up to her level because so many of them are so inadequate. But watching her in Parker with Jason Statham, I was like, oh, they're a match. They work pretty well together.
Well, I think her, like, this is not really a Jennifer Lopez movie. It's a Jason Statham movie. And I feel like this would have been a much better movie if they had, like, really elevated her character to be, like, his foil, his partner. She's a little bit of a, like, you know, sidekick character, right?
I don't understand why she's in this film at all.
The character or Jennifer Lopez?
Both. Did you like the film?
Well, it was fine. Like, it was like, if you're gonna be doing laundry and TBS is on and Parker comes on, don't bother changing it. It's fine. I thought it was a perfectly serviceable, like, lesser action flick. But yeah, I didn't leave much of an impression on me.
That's great. All right, let's talk about the cast real quick, because it is a weird cast.
Well, there's Jason Statham.
Yes.
First of all, and he's the star of the show for sure.
Right. He plays Parker. Parker's this thief, and I get from Wikipedia that this is based off of a book, so it's like basically a franchise.
Yeah, it feels like they're like this is going to be it. We're going to have they were expecting us to be watching Parker for Back to Las Vegas right now.
Yeah.
But that did not happen.
It also stars Jennifer Lopez, Michael Chiklis. From
right, yeah, the commish.
The commish, or the shield, I guess people know him from. Wendell Pierce.
Right.
One of your favorites. From The Wire. Oh, Bobby Cannavale as...
Oh, you love Bobby Cannavale, your boyfriend.
I don't love Bobby Cannavale.
You were sticking up for him in whatever movie we watched he was in last.
He was in Shall We Dance, but I don't love right, Bobby Cannavale. I love him because I have been told to love him by my sister.
Oh, I see.
So
I got nothing against him. He's perfectly fine.
I'm a proxy for Bobby Cannavale.
He plays kind of a hapless, bumbling cop who really likes Jennifer Lopez's character.
Yes, and then there's... probably one of the best cameos I've ever seen. Patti LuPone as Jennifer Lopez's mom.
Her Latina mother.
Her Latina mother.
Patti LuPone.
And Nick Nolte is in this film as well.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's Parker's, like, handler slash father-in-law.
Slash mentor thief.
Slash fence, yeah.
Yeah. So, like you said, this is not really a Jennifer Lopez movie, but it does seem like the kind of roles that she was getting at the time.
Well, I want to talk about Jennifer Lopez, as is our project.
Right.
But may we first talk for a moment about Mr. Statham?
Yeah, let's talk about Mr. Statham.
So I like him.
Jason.
In lots of things. He's this, like, cartoon, tough guy, action hero. But I realized watching this, like, he's normally, like... an ingredient in a movie. He's normally like a supporting badass. Like, he's a strong flavor in the Fast and Furious movies, in the Guy Ritchie movies, in the movie where Marky Mark steals all the Mini Coopers or whatever. And I like him in all those things, but here he's the star. And like, when I think of like an action star like Matt Damon in The Bourne Identity, or Keanu Reeves in John Wick, or Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, or Keanu Reeves in anything else, like, you realize how much like movie star appeal is required for someone to be in that role and really like make a movie worth watching. And I don't think Jason Statham has that. I don't think he has that star quality.
Are you serious?
He's just like a tough guy with the head of an anvil, and I get a little bored with him in Parker.
Are you kidding me?
Did you liked him at the heart of this film?
Do you know how many movies have been built around Jason
the
Statham?
The guy does 2 to 3 movies a year, but they're all like these forgettable mid-budget action movies like Parker.
I know you call them mid-level forgettable action films, but Jason Statham is like a franchise lock. I understand that he plays basically the same character in every film that he's in, which is, you know, starts off as morally ambiguous bad guy who ends up actually having some kind of moral compass, right? So he's never actually the bad guy in the film, and he's just a badass action star. But he's absolutely the kind of actor that you can build a franchise around.
Yeah, he's like a working man's action star. But he's not like... His movies are not the movies that everyone in America has seen.
And no, that's exactly what it is. His movies are the movies everyone in America has seen. Find me a person who has not seen The Transporter when it's been replayed into the ground on TBS.
Yeah, I get. Okay, so maybe it's not like the popularity, but it is the quality. Like, these are like the off-brand chips next to the Doritos of your John Wick or your Bourne Identity. Right?
I'll say that he has never. He has yet to do kind of a prestige action movie like we got with Keanu Reeves and John Wick.
Right.
But he's getting really close because he's in the Fast and Furious franchise against The Rock.
And I'm not knocking it, right? Like, I'm glad he's making a living. He seems like a hardworking fella. But I didn't find him that, like, in a way that, like, maybe a more compelling actor I would be interested in watching them. I just wasn't that interested in watching his character of Parker.
Oh, I find him eminently watchable because he has kind of the blandness of, you know, good action guy. Like, that's it. I just need good action guy. I don't need anything else from Jason Statham. And he delivers that in every single movie. But he also has this, like, particular brand of British charm that plays well with Americans.
Yeah, this very, like, dry, charming, tough guy thing.
Yeah, and I think, I have no idea how it plays with actual British people, but with Americans, I think it plays really well.
Well, I love him in, I don't know if it was one or two, but he's in at least one of those Guy Ritchie movies where he's this, like, unflappable British tough guy, like, either kicking someone's ass or getting his ass kicked every 10 minutes. Like, I like him in those roles. I liked him in The Meg, where he's riding a giant shark or fighting a giant shark.
Okay.
But I, like, in this, yeah, I wasn't upset about it. I was like, all right, that's fine.
Can we segue to talk about The Meg for a minute? Because he plays almost exactly the same character that he plays in Parker.
I feel like, and he plays the same character in every movie he's
in,
right?
Kind of, yeah. But in The Meg, even sets up kind of the same kind of the same dynamic where he has basically two love interests, like two women who are after him at the same time. And it's basically the same thing happens in Parker.
So that's an odd choice the movie made, right? Like, Jennifer Lopez, she's this, like, hot, weirdly amoral real estate agent who's into him. And you could, it seems like the movie would have gotten more, like, narrative traction from whether they got together or not, having their, like, potential romantic relationship be important. But there's this off-screen girlfriend that the movie's always reminding us, like, he's very devoted to this lady who's not really part of the story.
Yeah, and she's, like, so vanilla and so not related to the plot at all.
Yeah,
she's
shows up once and, like, fixes his broken hand. She's like, I'm really sweet and I love Parker. Goodbye again. but I don't, like, I didn't really understand that, right? It seems like they just tossed away something interesting for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the many problems with the movie, and I think we should come back to it when we talk a little bit more about Jennifer Lopez, because I think their chemistry is essential to some of the points in the film.
Well, you know what? People did not come here to hear about Jason Statham or Bobby Cannavale. They came here to listen to us talk about Jennifer Lopez. So let's get into the heart of the Jennifer Lopez episode.
All right, so like you pointed out, she's not really the star of the film. One of the reasons that I didn't like the movie that much is that she doesn't come in until a full, like, 50 minutes into the film. Like, basically out of the blue, they're introducing this brand new character.
Yeah, there's a long setup.
Halfway through the film. The setup is incredibly long.
But, like, is that, you know, maybe that you don't care about that if you're not watching it to record your Jennifer Lopez podcast, right? Like, she's relatively smaller part of the story.
But it's bad storytelling. You can't really drop in a character halfway through the film and then expect people to care about the fate of that character. And to a degree, you do have to start caring about Jennifer Lopez, because the back half of the film spends an inordinate amount of time on her when you're like, where the hell was she for the first like three
quarters
of this
thing? Parker becomes
very
focused on her fate. And like the movie does, like, it doesn't just like it does. She is the second character, right? Like, we get a lot of, like, from her perspective where he's not even there, like her and her mom and her job. But she's a very thinly written character.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that bothered me most about, like, her character and the way this story was. So, like I said earlier, there's this kind of, like, guy in an action movie where, like, they have guns and they're constantly getting in fights and jumping through windows, and that's normal life for them. But for actual normal people, so she's a normal person. She's not a crazy
action star. She's a real estate agent.
Yeah, she's a real estate agent. And the movie says, it shows us that she's a little bit, she's struggling, right? She's, like, she's not making money and she has to live with her mom in her condo and they're going to repossess her Honda. Which, again, you know,
it's not a Honda. It's like a nice car. It's like a Mercedes.
So she's under some financial pressure.
Right.
So she meets Parker and he's like, hello, love, would you like to do some murders and commit grand larceny with me? And she goes, absolutely. Which, that was so jarring, right? Like, she's complete, like, a normal person would be like, oh my God, no, I can't do that. And what would have been interesting is if he had to convince her, or she was, or the movie showed us, like, oh my God, she is over a barrel, she's got to do this. But it's like, oh, she doesn't want her Honda to get repossessed, I guess she'll go, you know, kill somebody and become a felon with no second thoughts.
This is why it's not really relevant whether or not I liked the movie, because if they had just made some tightening up or just made better editorial decisions, you could have had a much better movie. And both Jason Statham and Jennifer Lopez especially deserve a better film, because, like you said, her character motivations are nowhere, right? She's not even that in debt. Like, she's not her car's about to be repossessed, but that's it. She's struggling through a divorce, but otherwise nothing to indicate that she would be okay with shooting a guy 8 times like she does in the end of the film, right? It just goes completely off the rails.
Yeah, she goes from being a mildly stressed real estate agent to, like, a master criminal, and the film doesn't bother to give her even a moment to think about, like, well, what does that mean for me as a person?
No, well, not even that, but... Sometimes you would see these women as, like, you know, she's could be portrayed as, like, the femme fatale or anything like that. She's not. She's just a real estate agent who made bad decisions, but not even comically bad decisions. Decisions with absolutely no narrative weight whatsoever.
Yeah, I feel like the script arrived and she was, yeah, the sidekick, the not even love interest. When they cast Jennifer Lopez, though, they should have been like, wait a minute, let's retool this so it's like Statham and Lopez playing, not to make her a badass too, but like that they're playing off each other and that she's got equal weight to him in the story.
Right.
Which seems like as with so many of her movies, she's really wasted on this film.
She's totally wasted on this film. And when you watch her in stuff that she's good in, like Hustlers, when she's given good material, she can do so much because when she's on screen, like you can't look away from her. She has that much magnetism, but she's clearly not Statham's equal either in the billing or in storytelling.
I don't even remember the character's name. Like, she was that...
She plays Leslie Rogers.
You're saying it now, and I believe you.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
But I don't remember.
But yeah, she plays, again, real estate agent. And she's not a Leslie. Come on, you're casting Jennifer Lopez, and you're making her a Leslie. She's not
Ridiculous
a Leslie.
Ridiculous choices. She's not a Leslie.
All right, so... We have kind of our... Oh, sorry. This is what I was going to say, actually, which is that you had... This could have potentially had... this could have potentially had out-of-sight dynamics to it, right? Even though he has a girlfriend, you could have had, like, a whole bunch of sexual tension. And by introducing this woman at the start of the film that he's, like, in love with, you take all of that tension off the plate right away.
But not to any interesting end, because that other woman is not in the movie at all.
Right. They gave us this whole thing where Parker's in love with this woman, and he's, like, trying desperately to save her and make sure she's okay. So, like, when Jennifer Lopez comes on the scene, you're like, why did you pick somebody so hot if they weren't going to make out even a little bit?
Yeah, I think, like... Yeah, the better version of this movie, the franchise beginning of this movie is where the two of them are equals and they've got all this chemistry.
Yeah.
And
what they want,
but she can't be with him. He's a jewel thief, and he can't be with her. She's a real estate agent. Like, that's the movie that would have been really fun to see.
Or, and I hate fridging the girlfriend, but like...
No, just
you know,
don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, just don't have a girlfriend.
Why would he have a girlfriend anyway? He's a jewel thief.
Or saddle him with the baggage of having a dead girlfriend like everybody else does, right? Like, there's so much stuff that could have happened here and that didn't, which makes me mad on J-Lo's behalf.
You know what? When they fridge the girlfriend, you're mad. When they don't fridge the girlfriend, you're mad. You need to make up your mind.
I thought they were at some point going to fridge the girlfriend. All right.
So, listeners, in case you're not in on movie biz jargon, fridging is a term that I believe comes from comic books.
I think so, yeah.
They create a female character and then kill her, like putting her in a fridge, merely to give the male character something to be mad at and seek vengeance for.
Exactly, his motivation. All right, let's talk about the criteria that we usually use to...
Yes, what are the Jennifer Lopez protocols?
The J-Lo-ness of the film. We talk about toughness.
She's tough. I mean, I don't want this character to be, like, punching people and shooting guns. Like, I want her to be, like... capable, but clearly in over her head. Like, oh shit, people are like, she's not used to this world of gunplay and car chases, and like that would have been more enjoyable to have her like be a little more wigged out about it.
Well, she is a little bit wigged out. I would say that her toughness isn't the usual J-Lo toughness, like, you know, like we saw in Out of Sight and in Hustlers, like kind of that grittiness. But she's emotionally tough. She's resilient in this film. Part of the problem, though, is that you either needed to make her like not tough at all, or you needed to make her really tough, and that middle ground doesn't work. We talk about sex appeal wasted in this film, 100% wasted.
Yeah, there's like one scene when she's kind of like really
flirty,
coming on to him, and he, you know, doesn't respond for whatever reason. But yeah, that's about it.
It's wasted. Like, they made her mild mannered, like they do in The Wedding Planner, when she's obviously so hot. Don't do that.
Wasted hotness.
Wasted hotness. Sass.
She's not sassy.
Like she's not.
She's not, you know, I don't think she's meek, right? Like she's, you know, she'll season up. She's kind of like an opportunist, right? Like, you know, she's not even that likable a character. Like, they don't give us a lot of reason to, like, understand why she's doing the things she's doing.
I was actually just going to say that regardless of how poorly she's written, I found her character to be likable.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is just the strength of, like you said, she's a very, like, magnetic performer. Like, you tend to like her characters.
Working class?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, like, there's a scene where, you know, she kind of, she double-crosses one of, like, the fancier real estate agents, and her friend's like, oh my god, that's not cool. It's like, what, they do it to us? Yeah, so yeah. She does always have that element to a lot of her characters.
And she's living with her mom in a condo. That's very working class.
Her Honda's getting repossessed.
Right. She's got it tough. How does J-Lo read in this film?
I think this is another of those films where her ethnicity is unrelated to the character, and they didn't bother to revisit the script, you know, to make her a Latina character. Like, her name is Leslie, and her mom is Patti LuPone.
Right, like, her mom is Patti LuPone. They want her to be Leslie Rogers, but Patti LuPone is talking with this accent that I have absolutely no idea where it's from. It's just very affected that it could have been Cuban, it could be Mexican American. It shifts throughout the entire film.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a tour of Miami accent. Yeah, the lady's doing.
They're like they want her to read as like ethnic working class, and they did not think about it any further than that.
There's also something about Miami as a, like, I feel like it's hard for Miami to be like serious and gritty, right? Like, remember that TV show Burn Notice? It's like,
yes, I do remember.
This feels
that.
Like Burn Notice the movie, right? Where you're not really intended. It is not really intended to have a lot of weight.
No, it's true. All right, I want to go back to the chemistry between Statham and Jennifer Lopez, because I think it leads into our next segment.
What's our next segment?
Kind of the wokeness factor of this film.
How woke is this film?
How woke is this film?
Is this film woke?
So, it's not woke, per se. I think it does a lot of things badly. I'll be honest, nothing that really jumped out at me in terms of how, like, in, we watched Geely, right? Like, it's going to be very hard to top Geely in terms of terribleness. But it does do one thing, which I talked about with Shall We Dance, that I like, which is that it shows the unrequited love portion of relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's great. I was like, why?
She's into him and he's not into her.
Yeah. I was like, why do we not kind of see more of this everyday casual interactions between people? So there's not really a love triangle in the film, but Jason Statham does have two female love interests. One is his long-term girlfriend/partner, and the next is Jennifer Lopez, where she's flirting with him throughout the entire film, and he's kind of like, hey, I'm taken. But there's one point where he, you know, he gets a couple of looks in his face, like, mm-hmm. Ooh, I might be super into this chick if things were different. But we know that he's going to go his way, and she's going to go her way. And I am okay with that. And I felt like they actually had chemistry in some of those scenes, and it would have been nice to see more of it.
Yeah, but like, I agree with that. Like, I think I would have liked it if they were trying to get, or there was more about their relationship. But because she's so not the protagonist character, the unrequitedness is seems unimportant, right? Like, because the movie's about, it's called Parker. It's all about Parker. Like, he's not into her. I don't know. I see what you're saying, but like, maybe I didn't really notice or care that much because Jennifer Lopez is not that important to the story.
She's not that important to the story, but she's important to this podcast. So.
Yes, I agree with that. I would not want to do a Statham podcast. It would get so boring to watch, like, The Transporter, The Transporter 2, The Transporter 9, Parker, Parker 3.
I mean, you're saying that in The Meg you didn't enjoy it when one shark jumped out ate the other shark?
The Meg is terrific. The Meg is twice as good as you think it's going to be. But it doesn't matter. Matthew Broderick could have played that action lead. It doesn't. The story is the giant shark.
Oh, my God. Please step away from the microphone before you say anything else. Do you have a most J-Lo moment in the film?
Do I have a... You know, you ask this question every week, and I'm never prepared. One thing that, like, this... I've seen her do... she does this thing a lot in just the movies we've watched where, yeah, she's, like, a working class Latina. She's down on her luck. You know, she's going to rise. But in, like, the first third of the movie, or in this one, you know, she comes in late, but her first third of the movie, there's always a, like... I think it's, like, they called, like, we're going to repossess your Honda Accord. And, like, you got to move out of my house and get your own place. Like, the troubles of the world are on. She's just, like... all right, and you know she's gonna figure it out. There's right. always that moment when, like, you see, like, the pressure. And again, this movie should have put her under more pressure, so right. we would understand her turn to massive felony 10 minutes later. But there, I think that's a very Jennifer Lopez moment. That that piece.
So I thought that J-Lo actually gave a good performance in this film, like she does with most of the other films that she is in. And there is a scene towards the end of the film where she kind of becomes concerned that Jason Statham is not going to be able to pull off, you know, robbing the robbers as he has initially planned. So she sneaks over to the house where all the action is going down. And she gets caught and the bad guys tie her to a chair and put a gun in her face. And she's got this, like, she's, you know, hysterical, crazy real estate agent. But the thing is that you as a viewer know that, you know, she knows what's going on, but she's playing dumb. She knows right. who Parker is, but she's playing dumb. And I was like, she's actually a great actress because she is convincing me that she is actually scared when right, we yeah. know she's not actually scared.
Yeah, she is a really good dramatic actress. Like, I think, like, this movie maybe called for a comic sensibility she doesn't have. But yeah, I agree that she's better than the material.
I disagree with the comic sensibility. There's another
she
part.
She doesn't do comedy.
There's another part where Bobby Cannavale, as, like, the hapless cop, is in her house asking her about, hey, do you know this guy Parker? I think he killed a dude. And Parker is bleeding out on her back patio. So she does this, like, whole song and dance with him. Like, she's good in that scene. And there's Parker. She comes out towards the end of that scene. She sees that Parker's covered in blood and she has kind of this big meltdown. She's great in that. Like, she
I think the character she does should what date she can. Bobby Cannavale. And this, like, I don't think she should pine after this, like, bleeding jewel thief from England. I think she should just date the nice cop who likes her. He seems to have a stable job. He seems, you know, supportive.
I think that, and the one of the funny things in the film is, though, that it starts all these storylines and it goes nowhere with them. Like, you would think that there would be one scene at the end of the movie where you might see J-Lo and the cop who have, he's been flirting with her the entire time and she has not reciprocated. You would think that maybe they would, like, couple them up together, but the movie doesn't care about that.
He's supposed to be comic relief. I think we're supposed to be like, oh my God, the funny cop who loves her, but he's not. Those scenes aren't that funny.
No, they're not. What else is there to talk about?
I mean, that seems like that's all. Well, you referenced how woke you felt the film was. I felt it was neither woke nor unwoke, but did you think that it was touching on something or being objectionable in some way?
No, I mean, I like I said, I again like films that push even a little bit further away from just the dynamic of a guy and a girl get together in the end and live happily ever after. At least here you have a little bit of unrequited love. You've got some flirtation going on with people. And Jennifer Lopez just ends up with her money. She's fine with that, right?
She doesn't need a dude. I do like that she got her money.
She gets her money in the end and she's fine with it. She didn't really need to end up with somebody, which is great for Jennifer Lopez in a movie because generally when you cast her, you're expecting her to be partnered up by the end of it.
At the end, Parker goes away, but he sends her a giant box of money, and she uses it to get her Honda Accord out of Hawk.
Two
giant boxes of money.
Does this movie have a movie MVP?
Oh, a movie MVP. So aside from Jennifer Lopez, who was the most valuable player in the film? Who did you think was the MVP?
Well, I don't think you can say Jason Statham because...
there's no rules. If you thought Statham was, you enjoyed watching him, he was the star of the show for you.
Well, I mean, the movie MVP for me has got to be Patti LuPone. I have no idea why she decided to do this film, but for everything else that Patti LuPone has done in her career, she's the original Fontaine. Like, come on.
she's funny. Like,
she's great.
She doesn't quite seem to fit in the film, or her character doesn't seem to fit, maybe, but yeah, she's always funny in her bits. I'm trying to remember all the different bank robbers.
Why don't you just say Wendell Pierce because you like him in The Wire?
I don't remember his character. Actually, when I think about the bank robbers, the one I remember is Michael Chiklis. You know, the commish. Like, there's this gang of bad bank robbers, and
I know he's known for being kind of a jerk in The Shield, and he's just you in this whole movie.
Did you say he's you or he's you?
No, I said ew.
I thought you were saying that I am like Michael Chiklis. I'm going to make the movie MVP Nick Nolte because I always enjoy him in things. And in this one, he was mumbling so hard that I never understood a single word he said. And yet, I kind of had a sense for what the character was about and what he was doing. So I think Nick Nolte's sheer presence as an actor, despite the fact he had marbles in his mouth.
I thought it was just me. Powerful. I was...
No, I don't know what the character was saying.
I was like, I literally cannot understand
anything. Parker, you guys are whiffing it again, Bone. And Parker's like, oh, it's right, Nick Nosey, and he runs out.
Wait, I want to change my movie MVP. You just reminded me of something. I want to change my movie MVP.
I don't think that's allowed. But if it were, who would you change it to?
I'm going
to
change the movie MVP to the fake Texan accent that Jason Statham has to do for like 15 minutes in the film.
And Jennifer Lopez has concept MVPs when they make sense, but I can't allow this one. I'm sorry.
It is
bad.
It's so bad. And the fact that Jennifer Lopez takes like 3 days to figure out that it's fake is unbelievable.
And it's so like, it's also like the best part of Jason Statham is his Englishness. You know, why would you make him be a fake Texan for half the movie?
Anyway, I cannot in good conscience recommend that anybody pay to watch this movie.
Yeah. If you're on a plane and it's one of your choices, you know, it's fine.
But it's good.
But don't go on a plane because of the pandemic.
Brian, what do we have next week for our final episode?
Our final episode of the 10 Movies podcast season. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we are watching the fairly recent film Second Act, which I don't remember coming out, so that's probably a great sign. I think it's some form of romantic comedy. So it'll be a classic Jennifer Lopez note to end the season on.
I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to having you guys join us next week. In the meantime, give us a follow on Twitter at 10 Movies. Follow me on Twitter at Hemjaveri. Follow Brian at Brian_Minter. And then let us know what you think.
But before you do all this following and before you watch Second Act, and I want you to do those things, go on to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whatever you do your podcast listening on, and click the 5-star button, click the like button, click the review button, whatever it is, because there are so many podcasts out there, and that's how the people know where the good podcasts are. And this is such a good podcast. That's and true. You know what? Here we are. We were not able to podcast for 2 weeks. What did we do? Did we leave our listeners hanging? No. We went into the 10 Movies podcasting vaults, brought back some classic 10 Movies content from seasons past, gave an explanation of why we were sharing these particular episodes. I hope all of you enjoyed them. They're terrific. And I would like to reach a larger listener base, and I would like to ask all of you, our loyal legion of listeners, to help us do that with your rating and reviewing.
Because we're committed to quality podcasting content.
We're on a patio. It's cold outside. Your neighbor's scowling at us. We've got wires everywhere. Your laptop's not even working well. And do we complain about that? Do we even tell the audience? No, we soldier on.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And we will see you next week.